It's 10:30 a.m., time for WTTR's Daily Local Music Spotlight. Today we'll be hearing from Tri-Town's very own Mitch Owens, who made a bit of a name for himself in Nashville before returning to us here in the Tri-Town area. He'll be performing at Proctor's Farm soon. Here's one of his better-known songs, Late Night Fight by The Rock.
Today, we'll call him Matt Farley.
Matt Farley.
Matt Farley.
Matt Farley.
Matt Farley of Paparazzi and the Photog.
Matt Farley is known primarily for his music. It's likely not an exaggeration to say that Matt Farley is the most prolific singer-songwriter of all time. I'm always hesitant with big generalizing statements like that, but in this case, it's likely true. His entire creative work is built off a business model that feels like it shouldn't work, like a Nathan for You plan. Here's the pitch. Back in the early days of this whole Spotify ordeal, people would eventually get bored looking up their favorite songs. After a while, they might decide to type something random in. Maybe their name. Maybe the town they live in. Maybe if they're a child, just poop. If you do any of those things, you will likely run into one of the many bands affiliated with Moturn Media, all of which are Matt Farley. He's released over 24,000 songs. A lot of them improvised based around search results. The names of movies, the names of celebrities, cities and towns, rocks and minerals, and of course, countless poop jokes. Now, Spotify notoriously underpays the artists it hosts. If you're a lesser-known musician, you'll get pennies for each song, usually. A few dollars a year. But if you release 24,000 songs, and multiply that by a few dollars a year, you have a middle-class salary. This all has made Matt a micro-celebrity.
He's written more than 16,000 songs, available on iTunes and Spotify. Are they any good? No, of course not. Can you believe that?
He has spammed his way into public attention.
I have a song about poop stuck in my head, and I don't think it's actually real. Oh my God, it is real. Song called, I think it's just called Poop, Poop, Poop. And it's by an artist called the Toilet Bowl Cleaner or something. I don't know, it's pretty funny.
But Moturn Media isn't just spam. Farley does this to make a living, but he's also a genuine musician. He has more serious musical projects that he has the time and money to do because of his Spotify trick. He has, in some sense, figured it out. If you're a creative person who has struggled with the tension between your desire to create and your need to make a living, you can see that, in some sense, Matt Farley kind of figured it out. He figured out how to be a professional, middle-class musician without needing to go through a record label or get insanely lucky. And if you want to know more about this aspect of his career, I would highly recommend the web series Lessons from a Middle-Class Artist. See, this video is not about Matt Farley's music. No, this is why you should watch Moturn Media. Because Matt Farley is also a filmmaker.
Stick to making mediocre music.
Oh, have you listened to our stuff?
I've jumped to the conclusion that it's mediocre.
These movies are usually directed by his good friend and collaborator, Charles Roxburgh. They are strange films. Audiences don't always get them. There's a sense when you first discover Moturn that you can't really tell if they're in on the joke or not. Their films have this surreal, cheap look with strange dialogue and absurd plots that resemble a lot of the so-bad-it's-good films out there. I don't really like describing movies like that. I think it's narrow-minded to describe Plan 9 from Outer Space or Troll 2 that way, but I think it's especially narrow-minded when talking about Moturn. The key to understanding Moturn is seeing that Matt Farley is equal parts ironic and sincere. He kind of transcends those categories. On the one hand, he is laughing while making these movies. He's making comedies, generally. He knows they're funny. He knows the dialogue feels weird and the plot is ridiculous, but on the other hand, he doesn't spend the movie winking at the camera. Everyone plays it straight. In fact, sometimes the joke is that the situation is absurd and yet everyone is just nodding along like it makes perfect sense.
We've discovered that Uncle Dan died while returning from the past through a rock that he called the magic spot.
Oh, is that how it happened?
Pretty sure.
For this video, I reached out to film critic and author Will Sloan. He's the co-host of The Important Cinema Club and Michael and Us, both fantastic podcasts that are well worth your time. On top of that, he is also the author of the definitive and only book about this subject, Moturn on Moturn.
Welcome, Will.
That's very kind that you would say that, but I hope it's not definitive. I kind of hope that it is for them what the book that Chabrol and who was it? Romare, I think, wrote about Hitchcock in the 50s. You know, they kind of got the ball rolling when Hitchcock was in mid-career. And, you know, there have been a million books since.
He has a real love for Moturn's aesthetic philosophy. Here's how he describes the films.
I mean, they're kind of like, I would compare them to, imagine the movies that you made as a camcorder when you were a kid, you know, in your parents' backyard, and, you know, you got your dad to play the villain and you got your uncle to play, you know, a supporting character, because those were the actors at your disposal. And then imagine you grew up, you went to college, you came back, and then you kept making those movies with the same people.
This is what makes these films so special. They're cheap, goofy backyard movies, but what happens when you just keep making those? What does a cheap backyard movie look like when you're starting to reach middle age? On top of this, they pull inspiration primarily from low-budget genre film. They love the awkward dialogue and after-school special feel of the boring parts of those kinds of movies. They love the films from the 50s that don't at all live up to their promising titles, and they love those regional horror films from the 80s that feel like a small town coming together to make a movie for themselves. They love a dude in a big rubber suit. They love B-movies. But even the reference to their love for genre is only scratching the surface. If all they did was low-budget, comedic takes on horror and adventure films, I'd still find them enjoyable, but I wouldn't have found myself so compelled by their work. There's something else to them. In their more recent films, I've started to even find them genuinely moving. But let's go back to the beginning. Matt and Charles started making movies in college. Their early films are often shot in the woods, and their plots follow that backyard movie kid logic. For example, there's the film Adventures in Kruben Country, where a new mayor is elected as a reformer who will ban cars so kids can play kickball in the street, and periodically announces snow days on the radio despite the weather. Things are going great until he ends up battling some evil druids in the woods. These films are kind of the primordial stuff of Moturn Media. I'm going to gloss over them a bit because they're not a good starting place. These are the movies you watch if you get hooked. What really kicks off Moturn Media is their 2007 film Freaky Farley. This is the beginning of Moturn's iconic era. At least for me, when I imagine a Moturn movie, it's one of these. Freaky Farley was shot on 16mm. It's a parody on old Peeping Tom movies with this absurd plot that spirals completely out of control. This is a reoccurring motif in Moturn Media. You also have Monsters, Murder, and Marriage in Man's Vegas, their 2009 film, which follows a group of adventurous entrepreneurs trying to solve a murder mystery in a peaceful town. But the big one from this iconic era, and the one you probably should start with, is Don't Let the River Beast Get You. This movie follows a disgraced former tutor who fled town in shame after he was left at the altar due to his obsession with the mythical river beast he believed was living in the woods. The film begins with his return and his quest to prove himself once again to the community. This film has a cast of hilarious, ridiculous characters like hard-boiled yellow journalist Sparky Watts, or the Peeping Tom Professor, or professional athlete Frank Stone. This is the title he is given every time, and he is shown playing a different sport whenever he appears on screen. Frank is played by Kevin McGee, who is one of the superstars of Moturn Media. All these characters are played by friends and family of Matt and Charles. Kevin McGee was an old supervisor Matt had at a former job. These are generally non-professional actors, and Matt and Charles instruct them to not really try to act. They prefer deadpan delivery to overacting. These actors are usually pulled into the project for a few hours on a Saturday morning or something, and they repeat lines from the script almost phonetically.
The movies are very self-aware. Like, they're comedies. For the most part, they're comedies. And they make amateurishness a virtue. They're mm-hmm. kind of partly about their own amateurishness. Yeah. And they're also, like, community enterprises, because over the years they've developed this kind of Altman-esque repertory company of, you know, actors, you know, co-stars, cousins, uncles, wives, brother and sister-in-laws, kids increasingly, who have just kind of anybody who's willing to be in the movies for a weekend. And I think the last thing I would say on style is that they're all, the dialogue is always this sort of, like, very overwritten, very loquacious, you know, very wordy kind of dialogue, that sounds, that often, and often there's a friction between, like, the actors and the dialogue. Like, many of them are obviously sort of, like, learning it as if phonetically, and nobody, everybody is aware that it's funny, but nobody is, like, bad on purpose, if that makes sense. Yeah.
After River Beast, Matt Farley wrote and directed Local Legends in 2013. Local Legends isn't a genre parody or a comedy horror film. It's an autobiographical film in the vein of Woody Allen's movies. Matt Farley plays Matt Farley, and the film focuses on his obsession with creating. In the film, Matt explains his whole business model with Spotify and his love for making movies that nobody watches.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Oh, do you want me to pause it?
No, this movie's kind of ridiculous.
It's a movie about what it means to follow your dreams when you're not successful. And this is where we start to get to what I find moving.
Well, most of the movies that you see are by people who have made it, you know? And so it's easy for them to make movies that say, like, follow your dreams. The default of movies is that they sort of hook into, like, a success narrative.
This is what's important about these movies. The iconic ones I mentioned, the ones that are now today starting to have a small cult following, were not successful.
You know about film festivals? Because it seems like that's the way to get from where you are now to where you want to be.
Matt and Charles sent them to film festivals and tried to get some distribution, but ultimately they never blew up or made it.
Yeah, I'll look into it. Yeah, thank you for the tip. Film festivals.
That was his big advice for me. He thinks that I've made several feature films and didn't know that film festivals exist.
Instead, life just kind of continued. If you are a creative person, you probably know this feeling. Unless you're really lucky and had the right person see your work at the right time, you've likely spent most of your creative career making stuff for 5 or 10 people. I know that's been the case with me. The odds are, if you are watching this right now, you're probably not going to get to Hollywood. No offense, it's just really hard. Local Legends is a movie that says it's still worth it to create. And in a way, isn't it weird that we don't get this perspective very much? I mean, it's a much more common story than that of the creative who becomes rich and famous. There are way more creative nobodies out there than there are well-recognized auteurs. This is the kind of defiant optimism that Moturn empowers people with. If you can't make it to Hollywood, and you probably can't, why not make a Hollywood in your backyard with your friends and your family? A running theme in Matt Farley's public persona and among the cast and crew behind Moturn films is this sense of ironic celebrity. These movies make everyday people into movie stars. Matt Farley hosts an annual event called the Moturn Extravaganza. This is basically a giant Moturn festival where he performs hours of songs and sometimes premieres movies. In recent years, these have started to have a modest turnout, and while this isn't Con or some massive festival, for a small group of people, this is a visit to the backyard Hollywood.
Imagine, it's like entering this complete alternate reality, where, like, you know, I think there were probably 120 people there, and for the 120 people in that room, like, when Kevin McGee comes in, it's as if, you know, Taylor Swift showed up. It's like everybody goes, you know. And there's like a huge line to take a picture with Kevin McGee. One guy had a Kevin McGee tattoo. You've got, because if you waste your time. Oh yeah, I was genuinely starstruck meeting Kevin McGee. Like, yeah, I remember I like there was a line to take a picture with him, and I shook his hand and he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Oh, I'm from Toronto." And he said, "Oh yeah, Matt has a big Canadian following. I think there were some guys who wrote a book about him from there." And I was like, "Oh, that was me. That was me." And he looked like completely nonplussed, you know, just not impressed at all.
There's a freedom with their movies. So much of their creative philosophy starts with the idea, wouldn't it be funny if? Like, wouldn't it be funny if you made a buddy cop movie with your uncle? Or wouldn't it be funny to make a Woody Allen type film about a guy who writes poop songs for Spotify? Or wouldn't it be funny to have Kevin McGee play a, quote, former professional athlete and never specify what sport he plays? I think this freedom and this sort of rebellion against success is what's so infectious about these movies. In fact, the concept even rubbed off on Justin Declue and Will Sloan, and they said, wouldn't it be funny to make a book like Bergman on Bergman, but about Moturn? And then they did.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I was, I had a day job at that time that I didn't like very much. And I was very, was feeling the weight on my shoulders of like, oh God, you know, all the things one has to do mm-hmm. to earn money to live in this world. And I thought, you know, this was right at the start of the pandemic. And I thought, you know, it'd be a really like funny punk gesture to spend an enormous amount of time writing a book for no audience, you know? and this was, yeah, it was like March 2020. And the Spectacle Theater in New York was doing this online retrospective of the Matt and Charlie movies. And so every week they would play a double feature of their movies, one of the old ones and one of the newer ones. Mm-hmm. And there'd be this like chat function, you know, and it was very heartwarming to see, like, you know, audiences of, I don't know, 100-120 people, certainly larger audiences than they'd ever had at one mm-hmm. time for any of their movies before, you know, having a great time with the movies. And as the weeks went on, you know, Kevin McGee would show up and everybody in the chat would be like, yes, Kevin McGee. And Matt and Charlie would be in the chat giving little behind the scenes production tidbits. And there was one moment in Local Legends where I think Sharon Scalzo has her wedding ring on in the movie. And someone says, why does this character who's single have a wedding ring? And Charlie said, better to have them wearing their ring than like lose an hour of a shooting day trying to find mm-hmm. a lost wedding ring. And I thought, God, that's the kind of insight that needs to be between the covers of a book. So yeah. I said to Justin, like, wouldn't it be funny if we did Bergman on Bergman or Hitchcock Truffaut, but for Matt Farley and Charlie Roxburgh? And he said, I love the idea. And yeah, that there was, I was very sustained, like, you know, having it sort of as a given that, you know, this has no audience. Was such a funny and kind of liberating way to approach a project. I don't know. And actually, as it turns out, the book hasn't had a huge audience, but it's had an audience. Like, I mean, you know. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, in some ways, I think it's the most personally meaningful project I've ever done.
In recent years, this cult following around Moturn has started to grow, which makes me really happy. I'm making this video in part because I hope I can contribute to that cult following growing. And what they've done as they've slowly become more successful is continue to follow their artistic philosophy. They seem even more free now than ever. They seem like they will make whatever they want. But also, that defiant optimism coming from them in 2013 gets a bit harder to maintain as life goes on. Your friends start getting married, you get married and have children, people get careers and jobs, and it gets harder to keep making art. Life is hectic. It's difficult to make space for what you love, but yet the compulsion never really goes away. Earlier, I asked, what does a backyard movie look like when you're entering middle age? In recent years, Moturn has started to answer that question. Around the pandemic and into the present, Moturn has entered its black and white era. pulling from the look of local legends, they continued to make their next five movies in black and white. And if I'm going to be honest, I think this is my favorite era of Moturn thus far. All these themes about creativity in the face of a disinterested world have remained kind of central to these films. Ironically, this seems to come from that same "wouldn't it be funny if" mentality. Okay, so they're starting to get a small cult following around their campy horror parodies. Well, wouldn't it be funny if they made a film that isn't really campy, it's barely horror, and it's about being a failed artist? This is the film that inspired me to make this video. It was the fact that I was watching a film that I found genuinely gutting, coming from the guys who made River Beast. This film is Heard She Got Married.
Yeah, Heard She Got Married sort of begins at the point where it's he's failed. Like, he's back in his hometown, having gone to the big city, and it's not quite worked out. And then what do you do from there? And it's a different vantage point from Local Legends, where, you know, he's still, like, he's in his early 30s as opposed to his late 30s or his early 40s. There's still hope, you know? But then what do you do when there's no hope anymore? You know?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta keep creating, because to not create is to die. But then how do you recalibrate your expectations? What is it you're creating for at that point?
Yeah.
And in that movie, you know, it's it is, as you say, more grounded. A lot of the drama comes from, you know, this new friend that he makes, his mailman, who becomes his bass player, who may or may not be a sort of Tyler Durden-esque, like, externalization of all of his frustrations and disappointments, you know? Mm-hmm.
A famous musician back in his hometown playing small shows for nobody. He lets his mailman join his band despite thinking the mailman is potentially a creep and even reporting the mailman to the cops. I mean, who else is going to join your small town band? I frequently think about this part where they perform a genuinely great song, which is also called Heard She Got Married, to a really small audience. Afterwards, the mailman and him talk about the show.
My hands are still tingling from the excitement of that show, Mitch.
How did you get in here?
I knocked. And I figured you couldn't hear me with these sublime tunes you have going on down here. Is this your stuff?
These are just old recordings I did with some of my friends back in the day.
Pretty nice, but your current bassist is a lot better than whoever's playing here.
Yeah, that's my former friend Tom. He and I wrote some pretty amazing songs together.
Why'd you guys stop playing together?
He didn't believe in the music the way that I did. To him, it was just like a fun thing to do on the weekends. For me, it was everything. I kept on trying to get him to move with me to Nashville. He was 21 years old, and all he wanted to do was be married and have some cushy job.
I've been working at the post office since I was 21.
Yeah, and I bet it hasn't been nearly as thrilling as last night's show.
True.
And last night's show, it wasn't even that good. The place was practically empty, but it was still magical. Some of the kids there, they knew the words to the songs. Did you feel it?
Oh, I felt it.
It was 100 times better when I played Old Forge Theater. That was the start of something big for me.
The sense of thrill from playing to an audience of almost nobody and feeling joy at a few people knowing the words, this is a really relatable feeling. I remember playing in a small punk band in high school to an audience of a few people, and I remember how cool it was just seeing a few people enjoy it. I've felt this with other creative pursuits, including making videos like this one. And if you're also a creative nobody, I'm certain you also know this feeling. But I'm also certain, especially if those creative moments were many years ago, that you also know the feeling of lost potential. The feeling that, had things just worked out a little better, you would have made it and been a great filmmaker or musician or writer or whatever. So what's the answer? I don't know. I'm only 27. But Matt Farley seems to believe the answer is to figure out how to keep creating. Not all of us can find a way to receive an income by creating songs on Spotify, and trust me, it doesn't sound like an easy get-rich scheme. So you'll probably have to find a job. You'll probably have to live a normal life. But that doesn't mean you need to give up creating. Matt Farley is something of an evangelist for do-it-yourself creativity. While we might not all be able to set up our own Moturn Media in our respective small cities and towns, Matt Farley still insists we try. Periodically, he'll post on social media, make movies with your friends in your spare time. There's something democratic about this. Art is for everyone. Art should be made by everyone. In fact, obscurity is something that liberates you. Knowing how doomed most creative endeavors are is the first step toward making something worthwhile.
The Moturn Method, which is its own book now, as I'm sure you know, has been enormously influential to me because I do think it sort of liberates one to pursue projects, you know, to stop worrying. Like one of the kind of liberating things about what Local Legends says is, you know, nobody cares about your art. And so the downside of that is obvious, but the upside is nobody cares if you make something really stupid just for yourself. Nobody really cares if you fail. And so that liberates you to kind of do whatever you want. There is, in fact, I think in the Moturn Method, a chapter called "Wouldn't It Be Funny If," which he says something like, you know, if you have a ridiculous idea, an idea so ridiculous no one would ever do it, you have to do that project because the best thing that can happen is you can become an absolute legend. And then even if you don't, people might say, hey, remember that guy who did that really crazy project? And yeah. I genuinely think it's taken me a long time to realize this, but Wouldn't It Be Funny If has been one of the guiding principles of my career. That's a grand word for it, but let's call it that, my career. And I think it's good advice, you know? Wouldn't it be funny if those are the ideas that nobody else has done?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I think kind of part of why it's built into it is you think it's funny because you think it's ridiculous. But it's ridiculous because no one's done it. If someone had done it, it wouldn't feel ridiculous. Yeah. You're probably never going to make it. And that's exactly why you should try. Hey everyone, thank you for watching. The full interview with Will Sloan is available to listen to on the Fruitless Podcast, which you can find in the description. I only touched the surface of Moturn Media here, and especially the black and white era. If you get a chance, Metal Detector Maniac, Magic Spot, and of course the sequel to Heard She Got Married, Heard She Got Murdered are all worth your time. I really recommend you check out their work for yourself and see if it resonates with you the same way it does for me. Oh my, oh my, oh my lord.